guess that line forms on the right bay.
Now I'm just going through the motions on this one.
Back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 3 hours. You know how it works. Until the warm-up show at 5. Me and Fleegs rolling with you. The number to call, 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Well, we told you how important these games were for both the Mets and the Yankees. Mets starting a homestand with Washington, and they started off right with a 7-5 victory. Yes, the bullpen's still an issue, but the offense does what it does. Nimmo and Lindor carrying this team. Quintana, we're going to get to in a second. And his improvement over the last three starts and what that means for this team. But let's start, of course, just briefly with the New York Yankees and the disaster that continue. Whether Brian Cashman shows up. Oh, Cash was there. Oh, well, you know, I wanted to be here anyway. You know, the draft, we meet in Tampa, yeah. Showed his face. It didn't have the same appeal that it had back in 09 when he showed up right before in Atlanta, if we remember that. Francisco Cervelli hits the home run. Joe Girardi gets thrown out. And away that 09 team went. The difference is they had Mark Teixeira, Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, Robinson Cano. And I don't know who this team has. And watching Carlos Rodon again, you know, they get the first run in the first inning. Gleyber Torres, who's had better at-bats, you can't argue, and I know we all hate him, he's had better at-bats. He comes through the base hit to give them a 1-0 lead, and for a brief moment, you felt like maybe they were going to do something. And now Carlos Rodon, who, you know, everyone's going to get mad at Boone and everything else, he did lock in and pitch better for the next three innings. Fantastic. The problem is, when this team is playing the way it's playing, and now have lost 17 of their last 23, or whatever the stupid number is, you cannot take the lead and have it evaporate in one inning against one of the worst hitting teams in Major League Baseball. And the Rays are not the Rays this year. They're a couple games under 500. They haven't really hit well. They haven't pitched well. They're not a very good baseball team. And as they prepare for these two series against Tampa Bay and against Baltimore, heading into this All-Star break, and hopefully get a week off to clear their freaking heads. He needed to put up a zero in that inning. And this guy, I know I've yelled about it. We know what it is. I don't care about his contract for the next couple years. That's a problem for another day. That's a problem for another year. That's a problem for another half a decade, apparently. But the problem with him right now is he just doesn't have it in him to sit. That first hit of the game on a little bit of a looping line drive that is just over the head of Gleyber Torres, you know from that moment on, he is going to have a miserable inning because he cannot overcome the slightest bit of an issue. The slightest bit. And it's absolutely mind-numbing. And then, yeah, listen, it's. I heard Keith a little bit before. I hate the moping. And he's had a tendency to mope, as many of the players have, as they've gone through this stretch. And we've talked about Boone, and we've talked about the embodiment of what this team has become, the sad. Like it's almost like, you know, Volpe doesn't want to run because, oh, man, we hit into a double play. We had a chance to have a big inning. And that's what it feels like. It feels like they're down in the dumps, and no one personifies it more than Carlos Rodon. And, you know, it's funny because when he slams the bat and he's angry and he's yelling and he's this and that in the dugout, everyone's got a real problem with it. No one has a problem with it because I will tell you, we love Paul O'Neill and we love Jorge Posada And we love anybody else who might show emotion. Hell, I actually like the idea that he's a little pissed off, that he's slamming the bat. That's someone, I mean, we talked about it with Marcus Stroman, right? They won that night, so it's good that Marcus Stroman showed a little bit of feistiness. It's good Marcus Stroman was screaming. Hell, they needed it. They needed someone, but of course, when Rodon does it, we all hate it because we hate Rodon and his performance. And we could talk about the offense, and we're going to get to it in a second. And yes, it's only four runs, and it shouldn't be a death knell for this team. Giving up four runs in the first shouldn't make you feel like it's over, and obviously it does. But we could talk about the offense. The offense has been bad, right? The offense hasn't scored runs, but it's this pitching staff that's absolutely killed them. And Carlos Rodon, after the Yankees score a run, could not let the good vibes go for another 5 minutes. And I'm big on momentum. If you've heard me talk about the Mets with momentum and when I thought the season was dead, and this Yankee team right now, bad teams can never ride momentum. And to get that 1-0 lead, I'm not saying it's, oh, we're going to win this game. I'm not saying, oh, here comes the floodgates and this Yankee offense is going to have a big night. But at least they got out and scored a run in the first inning. At least they put together some good at-bats. There's a feeling of, hey, we got the lead, which over the course of the last 23 games seems to happen once every 10 years. So the idea they got the lead, the idea you're feeling good, you're playing a lousy Tampa Bay team, and it's all turned around in that first inning. It's a devastating inning. It's been a devastating stretch for this guy. It's been everything you feared from Carlos Rodon. Everything you feared from Carlos Rodon. And for the first, he is the embodiment of this team. There's no doubt about it. As we look and try and wonder, and we give all the numbers, and we're puzzled by the idea they started like a house of fire and won 50-plus games or whatever, and they're still, amazingly enough, after losing 17 of the last 23, they're tied with the Dodgers for the fourth best record in the sport. Right, we can downplay the first 2 months, and sure, why not? The way they're playing right now, I don't particularly feel great about it necessarily. But that's how good it was, and I don't want to hear, oh, they only beat good bad teams. It's such BS. It's absolute garbage. They were so good in the first 2 months that now, being the worst team in baseball for a month, they still have the fourth best record in the sport. But if you want to, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. That there were going to be players that you could look at, and they were going to determine what kind of season the New York Yankees had. And when the Yankees didn't go out and sign Blake Snell, and when the New York Yankees didn't add Montgomery, or really any other major starting pitcher besides, you know, Marcus Stroman, and we all felt like that wasn't enough, they whiff on Yamamoto, there's these other big-time free agents that they're not willing to spend the money on, and Hal and the chicken buckets, and all that conversation comes back up, and they weren't willing to do that, you look dead at that roster and that rotation, and you said, the Yankees, show me how Carlos Rodon does, and I will show you how the Yankees do. And the Yankees have followed the exact script of Carlos Rodon. The first 9 or 10 starts of the year, Carlos Rodon was pitching to an ERA under 3. Everything was going well. The vibes around the team were strong. He hadn't hit any adversity other than maybe one Baltimore start that he did recover from, to be fair to him. And the Yankees were winning, and he was pitching great. And now they have been an absolute disaster, and no one more prevalent in that disaster than Carlos Rodon. It's amazing sometimes that these players, there's a linchpin to a team. And what's scary for the New York Yankees is that the linchpin is someone it is impossible to have any faith in whatsoever. I tried. At the beginning of the year, I did. But you can see now, if a ball goes off a glove, if a bloop lands, if a jam shot goes over a second baseman's head, if a dribbler gets bobbled by the third baseman, if something like that happens, the inning, the game is over. He is incapable of overcoming the slightest of adversities. And if you want to talk about starting pitching, and if you want to talk about postseason pitching, which miraculously enough, my stupid mind still gravitates to because I still believe they're a playoff team, But those are the kind of things you have to overcome. You have to make a pitch. You have to pick up your teammates. He's incapable. And now let's get to somebody else who needs to pick up their teammates on the New York Yankees. Because this offense, yes, it's brutal. We know the bottom of it. But you know what I'm tired of hearing? Let's take a second, really, and let's just be honest about it. What I'm tired of hearing is, once you get past those two guys of Soto and Judge, I mean, really, there's nothing else in the lineup. I mean, you could pitch around those two guys, and then you get to the rest of this crap, and it's just terrible. And while that's true, right, that certainly feels true, here's the problem. No one's pitching around Juan Soto. No one's pitching around Juan Soto. And let's just be fair, because we've spent a lot of time on this station. A lot of time, whether it's me, whether it's certainly Sal Licata, whether it's anybody else, trying to find ways for the Yankees to justify to the great Juan Soto. And he is great. But it's been a lot of time trying to figure out how the Yankees can sell themselves to Juan Soto. How the Yankees can justify, hey, buddy, maybe an extension, but if not, where are you going to go? I mean, come on, let's be honest. You want to be a Yankee, right? It feels great. He loves the crowd, the reaction, all this stuff, right? All the roll calls, the everything about it. Hanging out with Glaber, getting haircuts at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everything else, he's in love with the team. He's in love with the city, but we got to sell Juan Soto. Well, I think it's now starting to become time for Juan Soto to start selling himself to the New York Yankees and asking them, hey, this is why you should pay me $550 million. Because no one's pitching around Juan Soto right now. And I know he's got a forearm issue. I know even, you know, he's missed a game for something else, and then last night he takes a swing and kind of grimaces. Maybe he's going through something. He's out there on the field. He's out there every day. And no one's pitching around Juan Soto right now. And if you watch this game, yes, he ends the game with a bullet 400 feet. He hit one against Cincinnati, 407 feet, just short of the wall. But he was pitching up first. He was popping up first pitch fastballs all over the place last night in last night's game. And if you look at his numbers over the last 17, they've been un-Soto-like. And while Judge has slumped for the last maybe six games or so, if you're going to get nothing from them, then this offense clearly is a problem. And as we look to the Mets, and we're going to get to the Mets right now, as we look at Lindor and what he's done over the last month and a half, as they've absolutely had this torrid pace, maybe slowed down a little bit. They're, you know, 5-4 over their last nine. But as they've worked themselves back to 500, as they've overcome the disastrous start, it's been their guys. It's been Lindor moving to the top of the order. And you know that's where I want Soto, at the top of the order. But what's been the problem with Lindor? I heard Lindor discussed a lot today on the afternoon show, and why is everybody turning their back on Lindor? What's the problem? Why do we always, you know, when he goes through his struggles, it's never just the struggles. It's that he's a terrible player and they're stuck with this contract and Lindor's not good and blah, 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 blah. And I've always said Lindor's a great player. But the problem with Francisco Lindor as a Met has been, as the Mets flounder, he's unable a lot of the time to help, to stop, to get hot, and to carry a team through their struggles. And now this time, he has the meeting. He calls the meeting. He comes out, immediately plays well. They move him to the leadoff spot. And now he is, without question, the number one catalyst for the New York Mets as they are now trying to make noise inside this National League wild card and recover their season. And he's having a tremendous year. He should be an all-star. He's proving it every day. But right now, what we're seeing from Juan Soto is at the beginning of the year, he was everything we wanted and missed. And he was part of this urgency. And I've used the word a lot with the New York Yankees. I saw in the post game last night, Jack Curry using the word a lot with the New York Yankees. The urgency they showed at the beginning of the year was put at the feet of Juan Soto. It certainly wasn't given credit to the manager. We certainly didn't give any credit to the general manager. We didn't give any credit to anybody else except for Juan Soto and the Juan Soto effect. And Oswaldo Cabrera watching his batting practice. And how as Juan Soto is bringing this mentality of every pitch is a battle and every at-bat's a war. And he's out there and he's getting big-time hits against the Astros to start the year and throwing guys out and the big home run against San Francisco and everything else. He was tremendous to start this year. And as the Yankees were rolling, so was Juan Soto. But the Yankees, as we all know, as the numbers will be told to you 100 times over the next 2 days or whatever, however long until the All-Star break, until they snap out of this funk, they've lost 17 out of 23. Hopefully tomorrow's not 18 out of 24. And we go on and on. But as they've been struggling here, Juan Soto has done the same. And we can talk about, oh, you pitch around him. He's got Judge hitting behind him. No one has pitched around Juan Soto. Juan Soto was popping up first pitch fastballs down the middle. And he's done nothing over the last month. And while he's a great player, and by no means am I putting blame at Juan Soto, but if you want to be a generational talent, if you want to be the guy that the Yankees, the front office, the manager, hell, the fan base, if we're all going to try and sell ourselves to Juan Soto, to try and suggest to him and convince him to grace us with his presence, it's time for him to show us why we need him. And it's time for him to step up and help carry this team out of the abyss. Because you know what? We can compare the team to last year and talk about how miserable they were. And we can compare the team to the second half of 22, even though that team finished with 99 wins and a division title. But if you want to compare those teams, you know what the difference is? Judge was on an island by himself. He's not supposed to be on an island by himself anymore. We got the other superstar. We got that superstar Patrick Ewing never got. We got that other guy to go with Judge and help carry this team and ultimately keep them from getting to these depths. With Judge last year, that miserable team and Franchy Cordero and everybody else, they were 10 games over 500 before Judge went down. 2022, he carried that team to 99 wins all by his lonesome. He's got a partner. And the partner helped at the beginning of the year while Judge was slumping in April. And it's time for him to awaken again. Because we could talk about what Trevino's going to give you and Wells is going to give you and Grisham's going to give you and obviously Volpe is going to give you. And we'll get into an at-bat by Verdugo in this game too that drives me absolutely up a wall. But maybe we need to see a little bit more out of the guy that we've been bending over backwards to show all the love to so that he would want to stay with us. Need a little bit more. And then you get to the Mets, and obviously Lindor and Nimmo, who hit a ball that I still can't believe. Me and Fliegelman were just talking about it. How that ball from Nimmo, opposite field, it looks like he got jammed and was late on it. How that ball carried out, I'll never know. But the power surge of Nimmo, Lindor being an absolute beast from the minute he got to the leadoff spot, have been obviously everything to this team. It started with J.D. Martinez and Lindor a little bit. It got to Vientos for a while. But the steady heartbeat for me of this whole offensive reimagining has certainly not been the all-star Pete Alonso. It's been Lindor and Nimmo have changed this offense. And the others, Vientos and J.D. Martinez, have come up and down a little bit at different times. But those two, especially Lindor at the top, have been the heartbeat of this team. They get the big hits. They score the runs. And they'll be the story on some level. But what you've seen here from the starting pitching, and namely last night, Quintana, who gives you 7 innings, which are, as you saw with this bullpen, and we've talked about the Met bullpen and how much they need to help it. What you saw from Quintana, 7 innings, 1 hit. Those 7 innings are just as important as the 1 hit. Because you tried to get to, all you needed was 2 innings from your bullpen last night, and it was a journey. It was an experience. And we'll get to the bullpen. But Quintana now, who has been, as puzzling and frustrating a player the Mets have had this year, considering you know how talented he is. How last year it felt like if only he were healthy the whole year. And, what he's done, what he did when he got traded to St. Louis. He's been a steady, solid arm in Major League Baseball and for the Mets his entire career. And so for him to pitch the way he pitched at the beginning of this year was rather puzzling and certainly something where, Severino was pitching much better than you even possibly thought. Manaea was doing well. Scott would come up and pitch well. McGill had his moment when he first came up. Like, you had moments as you were waiting for your ace, Senga, to come back, where you expected Quintana to be the guy to carry this pitching staff, and it hasn't been. But over his last three starts, he's really turned it on. And him being able to give you innings, which is by far the most important part of this rotation right now, up until you can make some moves at the deadline, and obviously the Mets did make a trade for the reliever Maton from Tampa Bay, formerly with the Astros, and hopefully that'll help and give you some major league pitching in that bullpen. And we'll get to that bullpen, and we'll get to the Mets winning these games and what it means, and hopefully what it means for this GM, and obviously the dichotomy of everything else this team has and the way every other aspect of their team is performing, and then you get to the sloppiness and the crap that is the bullpen. But you get to the top of the order, and now you've got a rotation that hopefully the guy you were expecting to be your leader, certainly without Senga, rounding into form, and a guy who, where it doesn't feel like it's a fluke, it doesn't feel like, oh, well, he's been up and down this year, the next three starts will be back to his old self. This is his old self. This is the guy Major League Baseball has come to know over the last 5 or 6 years, and somebody I think you can expect to help carry this rotation. And last night, one hit, seven innings, is exactly what this team needs, especially in the consideration of what this bullpen looks like and guys like Reed Garrett tumbling back to earth. But as same story, two teams going in opposite directions, beginning a six-game set right before the All-Star break, that is going to be imperative for both teams in who they are and how this season goes. The Mets get off to a great start with their lineup and their guys come through. And the Yankees head to Tampa, lifeless yet again, offense doing nothing, including Juan Soto. And the starting rotation in absolute shambles. I'm not happy about it. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So we got a lot of baseball to discuss. And then, of course, I did watch Hard Knocks. And I thought, I got to tell you again, if this were another team, maybe I wouldn't find it so damn fascinating. But being a Giant fan, if you're a Giant fan and you watch those meetings and you watched what went on there and you heard everything from this, I mean, it's just fascinating. And there's a bunch to take out of it, whether it's the Saquon stuff at the end of it, whether it's the quarterback situation, a lot of stuff from the Hard Knocks. We'll get to, but obviously we open with your baseball calls. Mets and Yankees to start. We'll get to the Giants and Hard Knocks, and we'll try and figure out what Brian Cashman can do now that he's down there in Tampa. Maybe he could do something, take the boys out to a strip club or something. Lighten this load, because right now they are brutal, and I can't watch it anymore.